From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Listener, welcome back with me, Rahma. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning with news, news across the country, and other interesting info, as well as Indonesian songs. Well, listener, let's begin with news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, on the frequency 3325 kHz, and website www.voinews.id.
This is Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with the news. First, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo's visit to Ukraine and Russia is strategic for economic recovery. Coordinating Maritime Affairs and Investment Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan urges Trade Ministry to expedite CPO exports. Now the news in detail. Riza Nur Afani, an expert on world economic trade and international politics at Gajah Mada University, is the opinion that President Joko Widodo's visit to Ukraine and Russia were highly strategic for global economic recovery. Riza Arfani said, as quoted from UGM's official website on Saturday, that if the war is likely to last for a long time, then it will significantly affect three important sectors, namely food, energy, and health. President Joko Widodo's visit demonstrated that Indonesia's foreign policy promotes regional and global peace. Riza admitted that the visit could not bring peace immediately, but at least it was able to reduce tensions. Indonesian Coordinating Maritime Affairs and Investment Minister Luhut Binsar Panjaitan urged the Trade Ministry to accelerate the export of crude palm oil or CPO and cooking oil raw materials to increase the price of fresh fruit branches. To expedite the export of CPO and cooking oil raw material, the Trade Ministry can raise its multiplier ratio to 7 times as much as the domestic market obligation, a rule that requires CPO producers to sell a quarter of their production to local companies. Indonesian products, especially those produced by small and medium enterprises, must continue to penetrate the Middle East market, especially the United Arab Emirates. Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan made the statement during a visit to the Lulu Group International Office and retail chain Lulu Hypermart in Abu Dhabi, the United Arab Emirates, on Thursday, June the 13th. He said in a written statement released on Saturday that the role of the Lulu Group International Network has been very strategic in helping Indonesian small and medium enterprises' products enter the United Arab Emirates market. Some Indonesian export products that have entered the Lulu Hypermarket retail network are clothing products, fresh fruits, paper, tableware, and kitchen utensils, shrimp, and chocolate. Ukraine's eastern city of Lysychansk is the center of competing claims with both Russian and Ukrainian forces saying they are in control. Ukraine says its forces are enduring intense Russian shelling there, but insists that the city has not been seized. However, Russian-backed separatists say they have successfully entered the city and reached its center. Meanwhile, Rodion Miroshnik, ambassador to Russia of the pro-Moscow breakaway Luhansk People's Republic, told Russian television that the city had been brought under control but was not yet liberated. A Taliban-run gathering of thousands of male religious and ethnic leaders ended on Saturday, July the 2nd, by asking foreign governments to formally recognize their administration, but made no signals of changes on international demands such as the opening of girls' high schools. the Afghan economy has plunged into crisis as Western governments have withdrawn funding and strictly enforced sanctions, saying the Taliban government needs to change course on human rights, especially those of women. China will loosen entry restriction on U.S. citizens, allowing entrance in case of transits via a third country. Notices issued late on Friday, July 1st, by the Chinese embassy in Washington said the relaxing rules are imposed in Beijing's drive to curb COVID-19. China's dynamic COVID-0 policy, which aims to minimize the risk of infected travelers arriving from abroad, has resulted in many barriers to international travel, from restriction on the issue and renewal of passport for Chinese citizens to tough quarantine requirements upon arrival. Last item. At least 5 people were killed by a magnitude 6.1 earthquake in southern Iran early on Saturday, July 2nd. State media reported the area also hit by 2 later strong quakes of up to 6.3 magnitudes. Mehrdad Hassanzadeh, head of the emergency management in Hormozgan province on Iran's Gulf Coast, told state television 5 people have died in the earthquakes and so far 12 are hospitalized. He added that rescue work has been carried out and officers are now providing tents as emergency housing. That was the end of the news. I'm Anna Trijayakasi, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Spotlight of the week is on President Joko Widodo visits Ukraine and Russia. President Joko Widodo this week paid a visit to warring countries Russia and Ukraine. The first one he visited was Ukraine. President Joko Widodo met Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky at the Mariinsky Palace last Wednesday, June the 29th. During the meeting, President Joko Widodo said that his visit to Ukraine was a manifestation of the Indonesian people's concern for Ukraine. With existing capabilities, the people and the government of Indonesia are trying to contribute aid, including medicine and commitment to reconstruction of hospitals around Kyiv. President Joko Widodo also conveyed the importance of Ukraine to the world's food supply chain.
Semua usaha harus
All efforts must be made so that Ukraine can resume exporting food. It is important for all parties to provide security guarantees for the smooth export of Ukrainian food, including through seaports. I support the efforts of the United Nations in this regard. On this occasion, President Joko Widodo also extended an invitation to President Zelensky to participate in the G20 summit, which will be held in November this year in Bali, Indonesia. Meanwhile, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky expressed his appreciation for President Joko Widodo's presence in Ukraine. According to him, this is the first visit by a leader of an Asian country to Ukraine since the Russian invasion of that country. He also invited Indonesian businesses to participate in the post-war reconstruction of Ukraine. After meeting the President of Ukraine, President Joko Widodo continued his visit to Russia and met with President Vladimir Putin at the Kremlin Palace Moscow last Thursday, June the 13th. During the meeting, the two heads of state discussed various things, including the issue of disruption of supply chain of food and fertilizers that could affect hundreds of millions of people in the world, especially in developing countries.
Saya sangat menghargai.
I really appreciate President Putin, who said earlier would provide security guarantees for food and fertilizer supplies both from Russia and Ukraine. This is good news. At the end of his statement, President Joko Widodo said that Indonesia has no interest except to see the war can be ended soon and the food, fertilizer, energy supply chain can be restored immediately because this involves the lives of hundreds of millions of people and even billions of people. He also invited all world leaders to work together to revive the spirit of multilateralism, the spirit of peace, and the spirit of cooperation. Well, that was Spotlight of the Week.
Oh,
I'll start today in history with July the 3rd, 1920. The Bandung Institute of Technology was founded. On July the 3rd, 1920, the Bandung Institute of Technology was established under the name Technische Hochschule Te Bandung, or commonly abbreviated as TH Te Bandung. It was the first technical college as well as the first higher education institution in the Dutch East Indies. The institute was founded on the initiative of the private agency Koninklijk Instituut voor Hoger Technisch Onderwijs in Netherlands Indië. TH Bandung or TH Bandung was opened for the first time with one faculty, namely the Faculteit van Technische Wetenschap. Turning to the July the 3rd, 1988, a United States Navy battleship shot down Iran Air Flight 655. Iran Air Flight 655 or IR-655 was a flight from Tehran to Dubai. Citing Compass.com, the plane was shot down over the Strait of Hormuz between the Gulf of Oman and the Persian Gulf. Later, it was found out that the IR-655 was shot down by the United Navy missile cruiser USS Vincennes, mistakenly identified as an Iranian F-14 Tomcat fighter. The accident killed all 290 passengers and crew. In August 1988, a month after the tragedy, the Iranian government issued a postage stamp depicting the shooting. In February 1996, the United States government agreed to pay compensation of $131.8 million to Iran to stop the case. A total of $61.8 million was channeled to the families of the Iranians who died on the flight. I'll end today in history with July the 3rd, 2011. Yingluck Shinawatra becomes the first female Thai Prime Minister. The general election took place in Thailand on Sunday, July the 3rd, 2011. Yingluck Shinawatra managed to defeat the Prime Minister of Thailand, Abhisit Vejjajiva. According to the Associated Press news agency, Yingluck's victory from the Pheu Thai Party was confirmed after 94% of the ballots had been counted. Yingluck's party won 261 of the 500 seats in parliament. On the other hand, Abhisit's Democratic Party only won 162 seats. Knowing her party's victory, Yingluck said that the victory was the victory of the people. In August 2011, Yingluck Shinawatra was officially sworn in as Prime Minister of Thailand, and she is the first female Prime Minister in Thai history. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Listener, in the segment Listener's Mailbag, we would like to thank our dear listeners wherever you are who have sent your letters or emails containing reception reports on our broadcast. Now let's start answering your letters or emails. First, I would like to reply an email from Jayanta Chakrabarti in India. In his email, Mr. Chakrabarti said he has received our QSL. Hello, sir. Thank you for your confirmation. Keep listening to Voice of Indonesia and please do not forget to send your reception report on our broadcast. So here is a beautiful song for you. Happy listening.
Kau
You are still tuned to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Today's edition will give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
My Indonesia Today is entitled Indonesia to host the 2023 World Beach Games. Early June, the Association of National Olympic Committees officially announced that Indonesia will host the Association World Beach Games, or AWBG, to take place in Bali in 2023. In addition to hosting the beach and water sports events from August the 5th until 12th, 2023, Bali will also host the 27th Association of National Olympic Committees General Assembly. In the official website of the World Beach Games activities, a qualification system has been released for the 7 mandatory sports to be competed, namely aquathlon, beach handball, beach football, beach tennis, beach wrestling, karate, and 5 kilometers open water swimming. However, to participate in the event, even though as the host, Indonesian athletes must take part in the selection or a qualifying championship. In response to this, the Secretary General of the Indonesian Olympic Committee, Ferry Jekono, recently in Jakarta reminded the related sports branches in Indonesia to prepare for the qualifying championship. Ferry, in his statement, said that based on the inaugural games in Doha, the host Qatar still had to pass qualifying tournaments for several sports. Likewise, with the one to be held in Bali, Indonesian athletes must participate in the qualifying round. The qualification system will refer to the world ranking and the quota will be given in two ways, namely the results at the World Championships and the Continental Qualifiers. In addition to organizing the 7 sports that have been approved, Indonesia as the host has the right to propose several sports to be competed. According to Ferry Jekono, Indonesia has proposed several sports including water badminton, sport climbing, beach dragon boat, and paragliding. In addition, Indonesia also asked for 2 sports to be exhibited, namely sepak takraw and pencak silat. That was My Indonesia Today.
Indonesia will soon have a new capital city, Nusantara, Indonesia. It's located in the heart of Kalimantan, the center of the archipelago, from Sabang to Merauke, from Miangas to Rote. New smart metropolis is the concept. The new capital city, Nusantara, a global city for all.
VOI listener, now we will reply you an email from Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan. In his email, he said he has received our QSL. Hello, sir. Thank you for your confirmation. Keep listening to Voice of Indonesia and please sending your reception report on our broadcast. As appreciation, I'll play a beautiful song for you. So, Muhammad Akil Bashir in Pakistan, let's enjoy the song.
Sangat langka dan takkan ada duanya di dunia, tak ada pembandingnya.
Rasa ini sangatlah luar biasa, satu-satunya takkan bisa kau terima dari dia ataupun selainnya.
Sadarilah, hanya aku yang bisa bahagiakan kamu seutuhnya. Maka jangan sia-siakan semua
That was the second song from Voice of Indonesia, and you are still listening to the program Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on the frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listener, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
Kupang, the capital of East Nusa Tenggara province, has recently become increasingly well-known, especially among tourists. In addition to the management of air transportation, which is getting better and more orderly, information that is getting easier to get about the city of Kupang show the readiness of the local government to welcome foreign tourists as well as local tourists. In East Nusa Tenggara, you will find several caves that can be your choice of destination. One of them is the Crystal Cave, which is located in the Bolok area, Kupang. From Kupang City to Crystal Cave takes about 30 minutes drive or about 25 kilometers from El Tari International Airport. Visitors have to park their vehicles on the side of the highway, which is then followed by trekking for about 100 meters to the cave. The journey to the cave is a bit steep and slippery. Visitors must descend the rocks that are arranged naturally, then enter the cave, down the rocks, into the dark inside. Once you arrive at the bottom of the cave, then you will find the beauty of this crystal cave. The right time to enter the crystal cave is around 11 a.m. to 12 noon, because if it's too early, the sun hasn't come in yet. During the day, especially during the high noon, it's the best time to enter the cave. The sun's rays will gradually enter the cave and give light into the cave. And past 12 o'clock, the sun ray can be seen behind the cave. For visitors to Crystal Cave, you should bring your own equipment, such as snorkeling equipment and a waterproof flashlight. You should also wear shoes that are suitable for slippery condition, because they will be very useful when descending the cave. And of course, don't forget to bring a camera to capture the beauty in the Crystal Cave. In the pool in this Crystal Cave, you can swim or even free diving. Here, a waterproof flashlight is needed because the lower you go, the darker it gets. You can also enjoy the beautiful stalactites that form naturally and stick to the roof of the cave. The cave is called the Crystal Cave because once you enter it, you will see a natural swimming pool in an enclosed room that looks beautiful and sparkles with the sunshine, so it looks like crystals in the water. The lake in the Crystal Cave has cool and slightly salty water because not far from this cave, there is the beach. This cave is the meeting point of two springs. Well, that was today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Tomorrow we will meet again in another topic.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu. Maskermu melindungiku.
マスクを着用して COVID-19 の感染拡大を防ぎましょう。私のマスクはあなたを守る。あなたのマスクは私を守ってくれる。
ワカウィンティカルバイルス COVID-19 ミンヒラリッティダイルアクニアビシャクリンサヒコナイヤハミコンワコナウコンヤハミニ
让正确佩戴口罩，以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播。我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 Virus durch richtiges Tragen von Masken. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you.
Well, listener, whatever you are, VOI International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready. Who knows, you may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022. And here is third song for all of you. Enjoy the song.
Ku rindukan wajahmu.
just listened to the third song from Voice of Indonesia. The next segment, we will present you Miscellany.
Today's Miscellany is on two Indonesian films participate in the Bifan International Festival. Two horror films directed by Fajar Nogros, namely Inang and Honor Keliling, will compete at the 26th Bucean International Fantastic Film Festival, or Bifan. Inang will compete in the main competition at Bifan entitled the Bucean Choice Award. Meanwhile, Horror Keliling will participate in the 8th Project event, or the main competition in the field of film funding. Bifan is the largest and most prestigious film festival in Asia that focuses on awarding films in the horror, thriller, action, science fiction, and comedy genres. This prestigious film festival will take place from July the 7th to 17th, 2022 in Bucheon, South Korea. Inang tells the story of a supermarket employee named Wulan, played by Naysila Mirdad, who was abandoned by her boyfriend while pregnant. A desperate Wulan was reunited with the Santoso family, who wanted to adopt the child she was carrying and were willing to take care of Wulan at their home during her pregnancy. During her stay in the house, Wulan slowly began to witness the strange behavior of the Santoso family, who adhere to traditional Javanese occultism. Meanwhile, taking the setting in a rural area in the 1970s, Horror Keliling focuses on the character of Jarno. He is a stage crew who works for a well-known traditional art groups and dreams of becoming a famous star. Jarno then meets Supri, who offers to work together to earn money by becoming a traveling horror storyteller. Jarno slowly learns about his power to turn fairy tales into reality, as well as his dark past about a sugar factory that destroyed his family. Well, that was Miscellany over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Cegah penularan berantai virus COVID-19 dengan memakai masker secara benar. Maskerku melindungimu. Maskermu melindungiku.
Masku wo chakuyou shite COVID-19 no kansen kakudai wo fusegimashou. Watashi no masku wa anata wo mamoru. Anata no masku wa watashi wo mamotte kureru.
Wa qaw intiqal virus COVID-19 min khilal irtida'il aqni'ah bi shaklin sahih. Qana'i yahmikum wa qana'ukum yahmini.
Rang zhen que pei tai kou zhao. 以防止新型冠状病毒肺炎的传播，我的口罩保护你，你的口罩保护我。
Evite la difusión del coronavirus. Cortar la cadena de transmisión usando máscaras correctamente. Mi máscara te protege, tu máscara me protege.
Voorkom de ketting overbrenging van COVID-19 door een masker te dragen. Mijn masker beschermt u, uw masker beschermt mij.
Empêchons la propagation du coronavirus COVID-19 en portant correctement les masques. Mon masque te protège, ton masque me protège.
Verhindern Sie die Übertragungskette des COVID-19 virus durch richtiges Tragen von Maske. Meine Maske schützt dich, deine Maske schützt mich.
Prevent the chain of COVID-19 spread by wearing your mask properly. Your mask protect me, my mask will protect you. From
Pagi ku terjebak di dalam ambisi, seperti orang-orang berdasi yang gila materi. Rasa bosan membukakan jalan mencari perang. Keluarlah dari zona nyaman. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah berlalu. Bekerja bersama hati, kita ini insan bukan seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru. Berkarya bersama hati. Perlahan ku rakit egoku, merangkul orang-orang yang mulai sejiwa denganku. Kebeeman membukakan jalan mencari teman. Bergeraklah dari zona nyaman. Seekor sapi. Sembilu yang dulu biarlah membiru. Berkarya bersama hati.
International Quiz 2022 is back. 8 winners will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. Get ready. Who knows? You may be one of the winners of VOI International Quiz 2022.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hi, VOI my listener, in today's edition of Music Corner, I present you a song by an Indonesian young singer, Audrey Tapiheru. Audrey is a member of the vocal group GAC, but also a soloist. As a soloist, Audrey is back with a single entitled Satu Mimpiku. This song was previously popularized by the band The Groove in 1999. According to Audrey, this latest version of Satu Mimpiku, which means one dream, was actually made in 2015, and the music was recorded in Prague, Czech Republic. Unfortunately, due to obstacles including the pandemic, this project was temporarily postponed. There is a slight difference between the new version of One Dream and the original one. The original song is sung by two people, while for the latest version, Audrey sings everything alone, no duet parts. Well, listener, here is Audrey Tapiheru's version of Satu Mimpiku. Happy listening!
Sudahkah kau mengerti semua ini yang tak terungkap dengan sejumlah kata, setulus hati sepenuh jiwa, dirimu satu mimpiku. Ku meragu dalam tatapanmu,
I'm not afraid to die.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.